Thank you. I'm going to report again on our continuing saga to look at bioactive analogs of octanol. And basically the objective that we've been looking at is that we want to go ahead and we know that octanol has a certain amount of attractancy to begin with, so if we build on that model, maybe we might be able to get better or more potent mosquito attractants. We're currently in the discovery phase where we looked at screened in our large screened infield cages, which I'll show you in a minute on that. Is eventually we want to go out into the field to really test it against a variety of species. But the logic behind the analog design is, as I stated earlier, is that we know that octanol can attract mosquitoes. This leads to the hypothesis that olfaction must be associated with the following structural elements: a terminal site of unsaturation or high electron density, a structural capacity for hydrogen bonding, a saturated hydrocarbon chain of minimum length, and a certain relative distance between the region of high electron density and the alcohol functional group. Now, I'm not a chemist, and I actually have the opportunity to team up with a chemist at the main campus on Florida A&M University, so we're very fortunate to do that. I'm going to report on two alkenols, which are double-bonded analogs, and one triple-bonded analog, which is an alkenol. And we use 1-octene-3-ol as the standard. It's come to our attention that blends, I think, are the way to go on this. So we've been working with a couple of blends, and I'm only going to talk about the top one, where we add to the analog 3-N-propylphenol and 4-methylphenol. And the phenolic blend is similar to the tsetse fly blend that's currently being used in attractancy studies over in Africa on that. And we found that actually there's quite a bit of activity with culicoides and to a certain extent staple flies too. And then we test these with and without carbon dioxide. Right here is the screened in air, walk-in screened in areas that we work in. That shows you an interior view. This is the setup that we have. We use a counterflow trap, and we, like I said, with the CO2 on that. And we have we've got a little patented container here that allows us to put the analog in the chamber and then actually run CO2. And I really feel that we get a more complete mixture that way. And the study design in the cage basically follows a Latin square design where we go ahead and we rotate these across here. These are the minimum distances that we found out that actually traps we don't get interference with. So at noon we approximately release about 8,000 mosquitoes into each third of a cage, so for each species we are releasing 24,000 mosquitoes on that, so of a total of 48,000. 4 hours later those traps are turned on and then the collections are picked up the following day at 8 a.m. Analogs are weighed prior to the field deployment and then brought into the lab at the time of collections, and our goal for the mean release rate is 1.5 milligrams per hour, and that's similar to what's been reported basically for octanol and other papers. So let's look at some results. For the 9-carbon phenol blend is we've been finding that basically when you don't have CO2 you don't get much bioactivity, and then when you put CO2 with it you get quite a bit of activity. No surprise there, but of course the thing of it is that there's really no statistical difference when you go ahead and put the carbon dioxide there, so why fool with something like this when you've already got a standard that works well? So that in this particular instance it's not very bioactive in my opinion against Albopictus. And then for quinx, you see the same sort of scenario, only it's more magnified because they're really attracted to carbon dioxide in the cages on that. no significant difference when you use carbon dioxide, and but obviously when you don't, it drops considerably. And then this is the 7 carbon. Now something's going on here that I think is sort of interesting. The only concern I have is this and this is not statistically significant. So our when you work with mosquito traps, as you know, variation is tremendous. And so I don't know whether or not this is really an artifact of the high variation in that, but at least it's something to pique our interest on. And then when we go ahead and add the quinx to that, we see our normal partitioning out of that. And then when we look at the triple bonded 7 carbon, we see the same trend. So maybe something's going on here. We don't have that tremendous swings in light trap collections that we had in the previous one. So I'm just wondering if we're getting close to something that is maybe a 7 carbon on that. And then when you add the quinks on that, they do the same sort of thing on it. Albopictus is very difficult to get to traps, so if we can actually find something to enhance that, I think we're doing a good job on that as well. And actually, that's basically it. It's basically a quick overview of what we're working with. We're being funded by a USDA capacity building grant, and next year is our last year of funding on that, so we're hoping to get some additional funding so we can continue. But we definitely have to get into the field next year, because we're only working with 2 mosquitoes, and one can always argue, well, it's not very bioactive against those 2 species. What's happening with the others? So what we're going to try to do is we've got a couple of more compounds to look at. When that's all done in the discovery phase, we'll look at some of the ones that maybe, although it may not look statistically significant, we may see a biological effect of increase of possibly several fold on that, and then go out into the field and actually see what happens. I want to look at a salt marsh situation, because I was talking to Dan Klein several months ago, and he said that actually Oclerotatus teniorhincus, which is a salt marsh mosquito species, was highly attractive to octanol, and that was in the very early studies. So we might be finding something on these analogs too. So thank you. Question? You got a question?
We have time for 4 questions. If you would just repeat the question into the mic.
Yes. Okay, the question is, what about octanol and mosquito magnets, and repellency versus attractancy on various? That's the first time I've actually ever heard that it's fairly repellent to Albopictus. To answer the first part of the question is that, in my estimation, octanol doesn't do hardly anything in those machines. Machines don't do much to begin with in single backyards on that. I think a lot of people are thinking that octanol is this magic solution that you put in there, and you get all these mosquitoes get into the trap, and that doesn't happen. To me, octanol is actually a minimal attractant at best on that. It's just, if it was up to me, if I had a mosquito magnet to work with octanol and without octanol, I take out the octanol. I worked with it exclusively with Culicoides. We used it because we had to for the thing, but I didn't see any difference even in that species. And I have heard that theme through others, is it's not really that. It works better, like I said, if you've got Aedes teniorhincus, but for the others, not that much additional bioactivity. Save your money. Any other questions? Yes.
Did you guys like lower carbon than sea streams and carbon?
Yeah. Question is, have we looked at lower carbon analogs? Yes, we have. For this presentation, I just wanted to pick out some of the ones that we worked with this year on that looked possibly promising. But we've gone all the way down to 5 carbons and really haven't found anything. It seems like 7 and maybe 9 carbon, for some reason, those two seem to have... are piquing our interest on that. And so it looks like the possibility is that maybe analogs close to that, to the original chain, might be bioactive. Any other questions? Yes?
Have you considered the BP sentinel track at Lawrence Junction where you are not
back? Have I looked at the BG lure, which is lactic acid, right?
Yes.
On that? I did some preliminary stuff on lactic acid, and besides having real problems with release rate, I didn't see where it really added a lot to that. We even added some acetone to it to try to increase the volatility on that. To me, the jury would be out on that because I just did some spot check things on that, and I wasn't impressed with what I saw and the difficulty that I had to deal with it. Lactic acid seemed to be hygroscopic and very hard to try to get that release rate on there. I know B&G's got in that matrix and everything like that, but I think it's with some other stuff too, so you just simply couldn't take the matrix and add that to that on that. But. To me, I really don't have that much of an opinion on that substance. Any other questions? Yes?
I was curious. It's known that sometimes mosquitoes will shift their host preference over time. Did you notice over the course of your studies any change in what they were attracted to over the course of the year?
Good question. I don't know. I haven't looked at that. Yeah, that would be... Because we're constantly changing analogs, we may not be able to get that now that I think about it. Because if you were using the same analog and checked it on a weekly basis, then you could answer that question. But if you go out into the field, that may be something that we may want to really keep in the back of our mind. Good question on that. Okay? Thank you.